just can't touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find like you.
Amen. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. It's sure glad to be here tonight and celebrate the ushering in of a new year together and the closing out of the old year. We've certainly been through a lot, seen a lot, experienced a lot in the year that's closing out, but I'm excited. I don't know about you, about the year that's ahead of us. I firmly believe, Brother Dutch, our best days are still ahead of us. You know, you call me an optimist, call me whatever you want, but as a student of the Bible and of Bible prophecy, we have some prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled for our day, and we're in the midst of them being fulfilled, and it's just getting gooder and gooder and gooder. We just want to be careful what we're looking at. We know the devil is on a rampage, and you know he's desperate. You know his days are numbered, and he knows it. And he's scrambling, and he's pulling every trick in the book. But we've read the back of the book, and it doesn't matter what he does. We win, he loses. Amen. We go up, he comes down. Amen. Amen. So we certainly have a lot to look forward to as we continue to press and as we move into the new year. Our brother Andrew Glover is going to minister for us tonight, and we're so thankful to have him here with us. All I can say is that somebody, or maybe somebody's, must have some real needs, and you've really been praying, and the Lord heard your prayer and has sent our brother out here to minister, because all hell has come against him, and you know he's tried everything to keep our brother from coming, but he's here. So yesterday he flew from Charlotte to Atlanta, and the flight was delayed, so he wasn't able to make his connection, so he ended up being stranded in Atlanta, and so he thought, well, okay, I'll just go get my bag, and they were supposed to get a hotel room for him, and when he went to try to get a hotel room, they said, they told him, well, sorry, all the hotels are booked, but you can go and try and find one. It's like, wait a minute, you just said they're all booked, but I can go and try and find one. So he said, okay, well, I'll just get my luggage then, and they said, well, they kind of hemmed and hawed and said it wasn't possible, and then finally somebody agreed to pull his bag. They said it'd be about 5 or 6 hour wait for him to get his bag. So, of course, the bag never showed up, and so he went to the airport this morning and told him, okay, I just want to make my, since I didn't get my bag last night, I want to make sure that it gets on the plane. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it, you know. We've heard that before. Could you just check? Really? You want us to check? Yeah, could you do that? Well, it should be on there. We checked. It should be on there, right? He gets up to the gate. They said, well, you know, check with the gate agent. He gets up there. He actually sees them pulling his bag off the plane that he's going to fly out on. He sees it put on the ground. So he goes over and tells him, look, I just saw him pull my bag. You know, could you use the radio and tell, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you know, the protocol and this, that, the other. It's there. I saw it. It should be on the plane. Well, I know it should be, but I saw him take it off. You know, they're reacting to this 5 or 6 hour thing that turned out 18 hours later to you know. So he gets on the plane and he asks somebody, could you just, you know, could you just check? And of course, the person goes, well, sir, it should be on here, you know. So he gets here, and of course, it wasn't on the plane, right? So he doesn't have clothes, so he has to go out and buy some clothes to preach in here tonight. And he goes to the hotel that we booked for him, and they said, since you didn't show up last night, we canceled the reservation. Well, we paid for it in advance. You can't do that. And we contacted them yesterday and said, he's not going to be here this evening, so we know that we'll take a hit on, you know, we're not asking you to reimburse us for the night, but, you know, he will be here tomorrow, and that was the reason why we were. And I have a receipt that says paid for, guaranteed, whatever. So he shows up. Sorry, sir, you don't have a reservation. But we do have a place for you tomorrow night and the next night. So he goes and gets another hotel room. Anyway, he's here. And we're going to have church. Yeah. Amen. I tell you all that not to, you know, not to try to get a sob story or whatever, but I just want you to know how upset the enemy is, right? And so that if you've been praying and been in expectation for something, you ought to be encouraged tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, we don't want to take too much time here tonight, but I did have a song on my heart that's in the old blues songbook, and I'm looking for it right now. Guess I'm not supposed to lick my fingers, right? I'm going to find it. I probably don't even need to find it, but I will anyway. Praise the Lord. Did we have any prayer requests tonight? No, okay. All right, I'm going to find it here. I don't think the index is. I should just ask Brother Merritt. He'll know where it's at. He'll say 179. That song, Thank God I'm Free, you know, for a long time I traveled down the long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus, what a wonderful day, what a wonderful hour. Huh? Why didn't I say that sooner? Amen. So without further ado, so Brother Andrew said, how much time I got? And I said, well, you got all year. I finally got to use that one. Brother Andrew Boy Scout is in Bethel, and he said, I'm stuck in Bethel until next year. That means tomorrow he'll be flying from there to, yeah, anyway. Dad joke, I guess. You know, it's funny, right? Yeah, okay. All right. Dads think it's funny. Amen. Let's stand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus, what a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his saving power. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison, that has taken his flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his holy name. Oh, thank God. Thank God I am free. I'm free. I'm free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way one more time. Oh, thank God I am free. I'm free. I'm free from this world of sin. Amen. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Saved. Saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out.
Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Oh yes, washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Oh, let's sing it one more time. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Well, can you give him praise this evening? How many's free tonight? Amen. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. It's an honor to be a Christian tonight, and what a way to start the new year out. Amen. That if you're not free, you can be free. And if you are free, you can continue to be free. But either way, if you're a seed of God, you're going to be free. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? The world's bound. They're bound in traditions and bound in you think about that, bound in religion. But we're free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe that this evening? Amen. God bless you all. We greet you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it sure is an honor and a privilege to be here with you all. And we, as Brother Doug said, the devil's fault, but we're here. And I told Brother Doug as I was leaving the hotel tonight, I said, "Devil, you didn't win." Amen. I want to tell him again, the devil didn't win. Amen. We win because we're on the winning side. Amen. And amen. You can't lose with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And amen. So it sure is an honor to be here with you all this evening. Appreciate Brother Doug and his wife and his family and the friendship. We sure love you and appreciate you, buddy, and your family and the opportunity to come. And I was thinking about it. I had a lot of time to think between the time I left and got here. So I was thinking about on the way out here. I know at least maybe 1 or 2 years, Brother Doug had asked us to come for the New Year's. We had to cancel there for the meetings at home, that at the home church for New Year's. But it sure is an honor to be here this weekend with you all. And we bring you greetings from our pastor, Brother Sean, the saints there at home. And if you have your Bibles this evening, we'll go straight to the Word. We want to look in the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter, Psalms 37. I tell you, the Lord sure is good to us. Amen. Amen. Sure is an honor to be a Christian and to be a message believer. Amen. Not just to be a church member, but to be an active believer. Amen. I got to thinking, again, had a lot of time to think, sitting in the airport last night there in Atlanta, and they had I don't know who it was, but they had a museum or something set up there for a guy who lived in Atlanta that had passed away, and he was actually what they called an activist. He was an activist for, I believe it was civil rights or something, and I was sitting there watching that, and they were talking about all he was trying to accomplish and all he was trying to do, and I thought, my, what does an activist mean? I looked it up, and it's somebody who campaigns for a political or a social change. They've got a burden to see a change, and I thought, my, here this man give his life, and a prophet of God come and told us the world's falling apart, and all these things are happening. Amen. But I think tonight the bride is the real activist. Amen. I believe we're not campaigning for political or social change, but we're believing and promoting the changing of our bodies by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it sure is an honor to be a part of that tonight, isn't it? Amen. God bless you. The book of Psalms, the 37th chapter. And just before we read, let's just bow our hearts together and let's just invite the Lord to come and meet with us tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believers have gathered here, Lord, on this last service of the year, Father, Lord, we don't want to take this opportunity lightly, Father. Take advantage of it, Lord. We don't want to just sit by and just let it be another watch night service. But, Lord, we want to hear from you, Father. We want to receive something of eternal value tonight, God. That, Lord, as we close out the old year, as I heard your prophet saying today, there in the message, the contest, he was saying, let 1962 be the past, and let the past be the past. And let's face 1963 with a new zeal and a new strength to serve the Lord. And I thought, oh, a prophet of God so many years ago saying those things, and here we are tonight, Lord, and Lord, 60 some years later, Lord, on the ending of 2021 and on the brink of 2022, Father, Lord, may we let 2021 be the past tonight, Lord. May we let this service be a funeral service to bury it, Lord, just to let it go, Father, Lord, to take the word that we've heard through the year. Let us not forget that, but let us lay aside all the failures and all the mistakes, Lord, and let us grow into the stature that you've ordained us to grow into, and let us march into this new year, Lord, not as confused people, not as discouraged people, not as people that's up and down, but, oh God, people, Lord, that are baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire with a vision and a perseverance, oh God, to press their way through this year. Lord, if you would tarry your coming, Lord, another year or another 10 years or another 20 years, Lord, I am convinced that there will be a people, Lord, who will be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. And I pray tonight, God, that you would help me to get myself out of the way. Lord, may you drive out the tiredness from my body. And Lord, may you drive out the weariness from the minds of your children and the things of the day, Lord. And oh God, may we take these moments tonight, Father. May we step behind the veil with you and commune with you, Father. We just ask you for your mercy and grace. We love you tonight, God. Bless your little bride around the world tonight, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, and all the believers says amen. Amen and amen. Psalms 37 and verse 1, David here writing says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good. So thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, David says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I love this verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Amen. I tell you, I think these are good instructions going into a new year. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Think about that. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yet they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. I love this. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Amen. If we could look in one other place, the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. I have one verse, two verses there I want to share with you in Luke 23. And we'll give you our subject tonight and let you be seated. Luke 22, or rather 23, verse 44. You love the Lord this evening. Amen. Luke 23 and verse 44. This is actually Christ has been crucified, his death. He's now hanging on the cross. And in the 44th verse, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, when I hear that darkness over all the earth, it reminds me of Isaiah's prophecy that there'll be darkness upon the earth, but there'll be gross darkness upon the people. There was darkness over all the earth, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We ask the Lord this evening to add the blessing to the reading of his word as you can be seated here this afternoon. From those passages of scripture, if the Lord would help me for just a few moments on this final service, as we've said, of 2021, I want to speak to you on the thought of into thy hands. Into thy hands. I think in the hour that we're living in, I think as we're closing out a new year or an old year and going into a new year, I don't know a better way to close out the old year and go into the new year rather than a new commitment. Amen. Into thy hands. I think here of how in Psalms 37 that David is speaking, and he's actually given us instructions about how to handle ourselves or conduct ourselves amongst evildoers and workers of iniquity. And you know, David actually says something there that's very hard for the human mind to grasp, and that is, fret not thyself and cease from anger and relax from wrath. Now, amen, if there's any humans here tonight, which I know there's several, I know I'm one. Amen. When you get under pressure, the main thing that you feel pressured to do is do something about the situation, right? Amen. There's got to be a way we can fix this. There's got to be some way that we can solve this situation. And David here is telling you that when you come up against these times, he's saying, don't fret and don't be angry, but commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this. David is speaking of two ways here. He is speaking of the way of the righteous, says commit that way unto the Lord. He said, but then fret not thyself because of him who prospers birth in his way. So then there is a way of the righteous and there is a way of the wicked. And David is saying, amen, don't trouble yourselves about worrying about what the wicked are doing. When I think about this word commitment, it is the state or the quality of being dedicated to a cause, to an activity, to a pledge, or to an undertaking. Now, the prophet of God preaches a message in 1953 called God's Provided Way. And I want you to notice the title, God's Provided Way. He said, now for just a few moments, not to preach, but just as I've been doing exalting Christ, I want to use this subject of God's provided way. Do you know that there's two ways for all things? Are you aware of that? That's your way and God's way. There's two ways for everything. That's your way and God's way. You can't have, now I want you to listen, you can't have your way and be in God's way at the same time. You have to get out of your own way and let God have his way. You can't have your way and God's way at the same time. You've got to get out of your own way and let God have his way. Amen. You can't be right or left at the same time. See, either you're going your way. He said, if you're going your way, then you're out of God's way. But if you cease from your own way, then you get in God's way. And God can have his way when you cease to have your way. But as long as you're having your way, then God can't have his way. So you have to go one or the other way. So let's just let our way drop tonight. Let's just let our own way drop tonight. And let's let God have his way. Amen. Isn't it that powerful? Amen. Let's just drop our way tonight and let's just let God have his way. Another place the prophet said there is a perfect way and there is a permissive way. And I feel that if God here on the platform can show me things that has been and in my rooms and so forth, and he's able, amen, to tell me just where he wants me and what he wants me to do. Amen. But I feel as long as I've got it all hooked up, or I feel like, man, he won't put his hands on it as long as I'm doing it. Now listen to prophet, as long as I'm trying to work it out, as long as I'm trying to figure it out, as long as I'm trying to solve the equation or solve the problem, there's no way that God can work, amen, because I'm in God's way. But the minute, he said, amen, that's the way it is. He said, see, like if someone talks about you and you talk back about them, he said, then God can't fight your battle. Amen. You're fighting it yourself, see. So just let it loose and let him do it. Just commit it to him, right? Now, I want you to hear this. The greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to God. Think about that. The greatest weapon that I know of today is a committal to God. Amen. When you can't do nothing about it, you just commit it to him and God will take care of it. My, that's a mouthful right there. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to God and God will take care of it. Do you believe that? Amen. Think about that. We come to church so many times and we're facing situations and we're facing difficulties. And you realize even in services, we'll sit there while the songs are being sung and the word is being preached and we're trying to figure out a way, amen, to solve the problem, when the only thing God is requiring us to do is to let go and let God have his way. Amen. Do you realize tonight that if we can let go in this meeting, amen, that the supernatural power of God, amen, will drop down into the building. And listen, amen, you may need an answer and you may need a deliverance and you may need a healing and you may need a victory. Amen. There's no way that I as a man have a way to produce that. Amen. But if we'll let our way go and step into God's provided way, then in a few moments of time, you'll begin to see the supernatural manifest itself in the church of living God. Now, amen, I find it amazing that in the beginning that man was in God's way. Originally, that man was in God's way. We find them that the fall in the garden actually took man out of God's way into his own way. Amen. We find them that after the fall in the garden that they started doing things man's way rather than doing things God's way. Do you realize that they're still doing that today? Amen. That they're still approaching things, amen, man's way rather than approaching them God's way. Now, the Bible says in St. John 10, verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the Bible says, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, watch this. Amen. Climbeth up some other way. Amen. The prophet said he come up man's way. He come up some way, the church's way. He come in some other way, but God has a way provided, and that way is Jesus. Amen. Amen. And when you come by Jesus, then you take on Jesus by a spiritual baptism, and you're dead and take on Christ by the new birth, amen, and you're born again and filled with his spirit. And how you know, oh God, because that life would compare with those of the Bible, amen, those apostles who was robed in his righteousness, amen. Then why can't people who claim to be Christians believe in signs and wonders and divine healing and the working of the Holy Spirit? He said they should do it, but the thing of it is they've come up some of the way besides the door. If they come the way the door, now listen to this, they would be robed with the same kind of spirit. They would have the same kind of life. They'd have the same kind of testimony. They would be the same people. Think about that. Amen. Let me say this. The reason why that people around this message don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because they came in man's way. The reason they don't believe in altar calls is because they came in man's way. The reason they don't believe in preaching what a prophet said is because they came in man's way. The reason they don't believe in the new birth is because they came in man's way. But God is looking for somebody who will get out of man's way and come into his way and let him have his way in the church. I wonder tonight, amen, on this final service of 2021, is there anybody here tonight that says, Brother Andrew, I've got situations, I've got problems, amen, I've got circumstances, I've got things that I cannot figure out, I cannot work out, amen, I cannot figure out how I'm going to fix it, but tonight I believe if I let go and let God have his way, in a few moments of time, things will change. Let me just go ahead and say this, the Holy Ghost can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in 2 hours of counseling. The Holy Ghost can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in 2 hours, amen, of trying to put all the problems together. Listen, friends, I think tonight we ought to just let our hair down. Hey, amen, we ought to just kick our shoes off and let the Holy Ghost come in. Amen, I tell you what, we need people that need the Holy Ghost. We need lives to be changed. We need deliverances. Amen, we need answers. Listen, friends, it's not coming by man. It's not coming by church. It'll come by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the Word. And if the word is preached, then God will be behind the word. My, to think tonight, amen, that man fell from the original way. The prophet said when the people, in other times, people try, amen, to find some way of survival. And I want you to catch this. They tried to find some way of survival. Do you realize that we are not survivors? We are overcomers. Amen. They tried to find a way to survive when in reality we're not survivors. We're overcomers. They went to two systems. The only way they can get through is another system. See, but men in other ages has done this in times past. They all tried to get away. They tried to control the world and make systems of politics and different things. Amen. To try to control and hold the world together. And in order to do that, they have to get away from God's plan of doing it. Amen. See, God has a way of keeping this together. And the only way that a man can ever adopt some of the way is he has to get out of the original way. Amen. So before you can take man's way, you got to get out of God's way. To take old man's way. I'm laying a foundation if that's okay. Another place he said, God, amen, has a provided and original way. He'll never do anything contrary to it. Now, how many knows the prophet preaches a message called, amen, the way back? Amen. He'll take an entire sermon and preach the message the way back. And he'll say it like this. He'll say, there's many ways out, but there's only one way back. There's many ways out of the presence of God, but there's only one way back in the presence of God. Listen, friends, amen, psychology will take you out of the presence of God. Theology will take you out of the presence of God. Religion will take you out of the presence of God. Amen. Human nature will take you out of the presence of God. But there is a way provided, and it's not by man. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that every one of us tonight can return, amen, back to God's way. My, to think tonight, friends, amen, we're not gathered here as a church, amen, doing things man's way. We have been restored to God's way. Amen. Now can I preach? Amen. The denominations are baptizing man's way. They're having church man's way. They're doing things man's way. Amen. But there is a bride in the last days who was prophesied in the Bible to return on the earth in the evening time, under the evening time light, the evening time message, the evening time anointing. And they would be not partially restored, but they would be fully restored back. Amen. To God's way. Look at Joel, amen, 2:23, the Bible says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. How many knows? The prophet said the former rain was a sowing, amen, the latter rain was a harvest rain. Amen, see, now notice this, the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you. I will restore to you. Somebody put your name there. He will restore to me. He will restore to me the years. Amen. That the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm is eat away my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that it dealt wondrously with you. And my people, amen, shall never be ashamed. Amen. Then Joel was prophesying of a time that there would come a people who by cankerworms and caterpillars and palmerworms and locusts had been eaten out of God's way. But there would be a ministry of restoration that would restore a people back to God's way. Amen, Brother Doug, that everything the devil took from us, amen, God said he would give it back. Amen, I tell you what I believe. I believe this is the hour, amen, of restoration. I believe this is the time, amen, when everything the filthy devil has taken from the church, I believe this is the time, amen, that the ministry of restoration has returned to the church and saying, Satan, take your hands off. Well, come on, church. Amen. Satan, take your hands off of my joy. Take your hands off of my feelings. Take your hands off of my family. Take your hands off of my children. Take your hands off of my church. Take your hands off of my pastor. Take your hands off of my family. Take your hands off of my home. Come on, church. Amen. You're not here as a bunch of people that's doing things man's way. If we was doing things man's way, we wouldn't be in the house of God tonight. But because we're not doing things man's way, we're doing things God's way. We're
closing out the old year, amen, with an old-fashioned upper room experience and the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm on, church. Amen. Sometime or another, you got to let go and just praise God. Do you realize right now what some of y'all's doing is you got problems and you got circumstances and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet and you don't know how your child's going to come back to God. You don't know how the marriage is going to survive. Amen. And while you're trying to figure it out, amen, you could be praising God. I'm on, church. Amen. Sometime or another, you just got to let go and let God. Amen. How many tonight says, Lord, give us another old-fashioned let go and let God have his way. Let me go of my pride. Let go of my formalism. Let go of my ideas. Let go of my ambitions. Lord, I've been trying to figure it out for years and I hadn't got nowhere, but I heard the word say, if I'll just commit it unto you and trust in your word and believe in your promises, you'll make all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. He will restore everything the enemy has taken. God said he would restore. Look at this word, restore. It means to return to the former owner. Do you realize the devil's not the owner of your children? Do you realize the devil is not the owner of your joy? The devil's not the owner of your revival. The devil is not the owner of your happiness. The devil is not the owner of this church. He's not the owner of this message. He's not the owner of the stimulation of a revelation that God promised in the third seal. The devil is not the owner of it. Then tell me, who is the owner? I'll tell you who the owner is. You are the owner tonight. Then it's time to quit sitting back and letting the devil enjoy what Christ died for you to have. It's time to rise up and say, Satan, I'm taking it back. Anybody ready to take some things back? What a better way to go into 2022 than carrying everything that the devil took from you in 2021. Come on, church. He's taking some of your amens, but won't you take them back tonight? He's taking your ability to raise your hands. Won't you take it back? He's taking your ability to back the word. Won't you take it back tonight? Let's not go in as a bunch of weak down, amen, defeated something. Let's go in 2022 as the sons and daughters of God with the banners of righteousness and the flags of victory flying. We're not here as a partial restored church. We are the fully, amen, restored church. The Bible says restore means to bring back to its former owner. It means to bring back to its former state or condition. Amen. Then in other words, amen, before you had the trial, you didn't frown, you smiled. So in order to be restored, you got to go back to the way you were before the trial hit you. Amen. Before you had the Spirit on you, you weren't all tore up. Amen. So in order to be restored, you've got to be released from the grip of what's trying to hold you and be ushered into what God has ordained you to have. Come on, is there any possessors here tonight? Is there any real Holy Ghost filled, amen, blood-bought church of the living God that says, I'm not laying down. I'm not cowing down. I am a possessor. Amen. The prophet said, what did Malachi 4 do? He said it would restore. It would restore back the original. Amen. Are you hearing this? Restore back the original. It would restore back Pentecostal faith. Amen. To the same Pentecostal message, to the same Pentecostal sign, with the same Pentecostal evidence, the same God, the same power, the same preaching, everything else, with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road to Damascus amongst us today, doing the same thing that he did then. Amen. He's doing today. He said, what is that doing? It is uniting, amen, the bridegroom and the bride. He said, as the bridegroom being the word and the bride being the hearer of the word, they come together in a union and they unite like a wedding seat. They're getting ready for a wedding. Amen. Becoming one, the word becomes you and you become the word. Brother, amen, the word becomes you and you become the word. Amen. The prophet said, see, like Jesus said, all the Father is, I am. And all I am, you are. Are you hearing me? And all you are, I am. Oh, can I say that again? Jesus said, all the Father is, I am. And all I am, you are. And all you are, I am. And in that day, you'll know that I am in the Father. And the Father is me in me. And I in you. He said, see, what day? He said, at that day, what day? Amen. This day. Oh, God, friends, we are in the day of Bible prophecy when Jesus said the world will know know that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I in you, and you in me, and the Father. Come on, church. Amen. It's like Brother Tracy Brisendine back home, amen, back in Tennessee, used to say, it says, just all God, honey. Just all God. Hey, are you hearing me? Amen. If God is in you, and you are in God, and you and God is in you, and you are in God, and you are hearing the word and becoming the word, what else can I say? Amen. But it's all God. Amen. It's just all God. There is a bride on the earth, and it's not walking in man's way. They are not tore up by what evildoers are saying. They are walking in the provision that God has provided in the day when the great hidden mysteries of God are being revealed. Now, amen, when you begin to talk about restoration, how many knows there is a law of restoration? There actually is a law of restoration. The brother of God said, like, if somebody stole some property and they're holding that property captive, then you can take the law. Notice this, the law don't come get you and take you, but you go get the law and the... You take the law and go to the person, and the law enforces this person to restore the property back to its natural owner, to its first estate. He says, oh, the power of enforcement. See, then tonight we are privileged, amen, in this service, amen, we have the privilege to enforce, amen, restoration claims upon everything that the devil has stole from us. You look in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. Do you know the Bible says that God created man in his own image? In the image of God created he him. Both male and female created he them. The prophet said the law of the Spirit of God is to enforce restoration claims. It means to restore it back to the original. Amen. The prophet said, see, where God made them in his image to be like him, and the church is given the rightful legal rights by the Bible to take the Holy Spirit and enforce this upon him. Do you realize that when the fall in the garden took place, amen, that before the fall, that the law of God was on your side, amen, but after the fall, man went from the law of God to the law of science, to the law of education, to the law of reason. And so in other words, now the battle you're facing is when you hear the word, you got to break the law of science to receive the word. The prophet said like this, Brother Branham, does it mean anything when I raise my hand? It certainly does. It means the difference between an eternal separation from God or an eternal presence of God. When you raise your hand, that means that something in you, you have the power within you to break every law of science. When you raise your hand, you have the power within you to break every law of science, to break every move of gravitation, and something within you makes a choice. Amen. And you stick up your hand. What does that do? That shows an exception of the divine love of Christ. Amen. Something in you caused you to raise your hand. And when I read that quote, Brother Doug, it is actually telling me that in the last days there's going to be a people who's not going to be controlled, Brother Doug. Brother Doug, Brother Doug. Amen. From what's on the outside, but they're going to be controlled by what's on the inside. Amen. Do you realize if we was being controlled by what was on the outside, Malachi, we wouldn't even be here tonight. If we was being controlled by the atmospheres and the conditions of Laodicea, there would be no strength to praise God. There would be no courage to preach the word. But because we're not being controlled by what's happening around us, but there's something on the inside of us that's more powerful than on the outside of us. There's something inside of us pulsating. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's raised from the dead. He's here dressed in his power. He's here as the mighty conqueror. See, then when you feel that tug, it's not coming from the preacher. It's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. Something in you. Come on, church. Amen. Can I get a witness here? Amen. That there's been a time that everything around you didn't want you to raise your hand, but when you heard the word, amen, you heard the preacher say, oh God, you heard the preacher say, he is a healer. He is a savior. Jesus is a deliverer. Jesus is a restorer. He is a Holy Ghost giver. Amen. The atmosphere around you was an atmosphere of science. It was an atmosphere of education, but something on the inside of you, amen, was quickened by the pull from another dimension, and you raise your hand. Do you realize what just happened? You just broke every law. And I say it like this, you're lawbreakers. When it comes to the devil, you're lawbreakers. The devil says you ain't going to go to church, and you go anyhow. He says you're going to get there and you're going to sleep, and you're on your feet the whole entire service. Well, we might as well preach. Amen. Can I just say it like this? Amen. I've seen song leaders get up and say this. Pray for me. I hardly got a voice. In just a few moments. Amen. The strength of God dropping that voice. I've seen preachers walk the pulpits. Amen. Amen. Can I testify? I was out in Oklahoma last year, or earlier this year. Seems like last year, but it was earlier this year. And me, Timothy Pruitt and I was getting ready to preach. Timothy was in the back room. He couldn't talk. He was whispering, had no voice. He said, I need some hot water. I need some cough drops. I give him my ear monitor. I said, buddy, all I can say is go preach because I ain't got nothing tonight. Amen. Just go out there. He said, you may have to take it. I said, I ain't taking it. You got this. Amen. And I was sitting there, Brother Doug, and he began to pray with a whisper. And begin to say, oh God, would you come by this way? Would you strengthen my voice? I heard it with my own ears. A man's voice that had been gone all day in a split second went from a whisper to a strong voice. Are you hearing me? You know what he done? He let go and said, God, you called me to preach. You called me out here. I can't control the atmosphere. I can't control what's going on to me. But there is one thing I can control. Come on, church. I heard the prophet say today, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control the way you conduct yourself amidst what does happen to you. And I want to ask you, are we going to be a bunch of lazy Christians that every time a trial comes our way, we lose our praise and we lose our honor and we lose our worship and we lose our oh God, I say no. Let us be a Christian that no matter what the devil throws at us, we stand up in the house of God and let the devil know we're not following man's way, we're following God's way. We're going to glory. We're going to victory. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the resurrection. There's something in you. The prophet said, he's here. The Holy Spirit is leading you. He said, you put your hand up. You break every law of science. When you raise your hand, you break every you break every law of science. He said, and recognition of the voice of God that he's calling you. Brother Bram said like this, go wake Jesus, Lord, after you raised from the dead 1900 years ago. And here you made a promise, amen, that we would see you in the last days. You would do this very thing. And here you come right around before my eyes in this intellectual, scientific age and break every law of science and break everything the critics have said and come right down among us and prove that you are raised from the dead. I believe, Lord. I'll believe while we're singing it. Who will believe? Amen. Here's a prophet saying right here with all the critics and all the naysayers and all the evildoers and the workers of iniquity. Amen. Jesus Christ would descend into the midst of his church with all the voices of accusation against this message and would prove that this message didn't come from a man. This message come from Jesus Christ. Then if he will come down and break through every rim of unbelief. Come on, church. Break through every barrier of doubt and come in the power of his resurrection. There ought to be somebody in here that'll recognize him when he comes in the building. There ought to be somebody that'll give him a fresh drink of water. There ought to be somebody who will worship him. He's here tonight. Are you hearing me? He's here tonight. Oh, come on, church. Amen. Don't think I ain't fighting. I'm fighting every devil in hell right now. The devil's fighting my voice, fighting my body, but I'm pressing through it because I'm not here in man's way. I'm here in God's way. And if you're here and I'm here and he's here, in a few minutes' time, there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost break across this building with signs and wonders and mighty manifestations. Are you hearing me? Amen, Brother Andrew. I don't know if I can receive this word. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you. Amen. For years, you was on the wrong side of the law, and you was afraid of the law. Anybody ever seen a criminal? Maybe don't raise your hand. You've seen somebody that was in trouble with the law. Every time they get around the law, they're nervous. You know why? Because the law is against them. Brother, they're on the wrong side of the law. Amen. But you know there's a term called on the right side of the law. And you know what that means? It is used to say that someone is no longer living the life of a criminal. when they're on the right side of the law, they're no longer living the life of a criminal. They're now living the life of an upstanding citizen. Well, come on, church. Because of sin nature, because of our adulterous parent Eve, because of the fall in the garden, Brother Doug, we was on the wrong side of the law. The law was against us. Amen. But because of Calvary and because of the blood, amen, Brother Daniel, because of grace, amen, tonight, amen, the law is not against you, but I come to tell you the law's on your side. I come to, look at somebody next to you and say, brother, sister, the law, some of y'all still looking at me, look at somebody next to you, the law's on your side. Don't tell them like you're awake. The law's on your side. JJ, the law is on your side. Are you hearing me? Amen. Brother Malachi, the law is on your side. It may not look like the law is on your side, but the law is on your side by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The brother said, God talked to Moses. He said, we today are God's spiritual church with a spiritual law that is written on the tables of our heart. We are led in a spiritual form. See, then where is this law being written? It's not being written on the outside in our flesh. It's being written on the tables of our heart. Then the message of the hour restored, amen, a people to the right side of the law. The prophet said the only way he can work is when you let him work. The only way he can work is when you let him work. See, you got to believe it. There is a law. Do you know that a fish has a law? How many knows a fish has a law? The prophet said it's got a law that it can stand here in the water, and the law within him, if he'll just let go, that's all that's the law that in him, he can sink plumb to the bottom of the sea and it won't bother him a bit. It won't break one sail. Amen. That law is not in you. If you tried, amen, you can't do it, but the fish can. See, because the law that's in the fish, he can manifest things that humans can't. Amen. See, he can enforce that law. Notice this, and it'll take him to the bottom of the sea, but he'll raise up again. The prophet said, and there was a law that was in Christ. And that law is in men. You can bury him in the deepest grave or the deepest sea or the lowest hell, but there is a law of the Spirit of God that'll raise him up again. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, okay, go out in the water and find you a fish and try to do what the fish done. In a few minutes, they'll be sending a dive team to find you. Amen. Because you won't be in existence because that law is not in you. In other words, you can't go through what a fish goes through and remain a fish. A fish can go through it and remain a fish. I'm preaching to you now. A fish can go through it and remain a fish, but a human can try it, he'll fall apart. In other words, there's people you work with that's been through the same things you've been through, but they're not where you are today. There's boys and girls you went to school with that's been through the same things you've been through, but they're not in the house of God closing the old year out and welcoming the new year. Amen. Because that law is not in them. Oh, but church, tonight, we ought to be the most happiest people in Tucson, Arizona tonight to know, Brother Doug, you can send us to the lowest sea. You can bury us in the coldest grave. You can cut us and beat us and bruise us, but we'll raise up again. Amen. There's no quit. There's no quit in this bride. There's no backing up in this bride. There's no turning around in this bride. We were not ordained to lay down and die. We was ordained to spread our wings and fly. Are you hearing me? Amen. There's a law in you. There's a law in you, brother. There's a law in you, sister. The prophet goes on to say a bird has a law. He said a law, that bird, it's material. It's earthbound. It can set on the earth here, but it has a law within it that spreads its wings. It can fly plumb out of sight. Amen. That's against science. They claim its earthbound gravitation has its hold here, but it can defy gravitation and lift itself right up. So right on, because it has to put the law to work. It was built to possess a law. Do you realize as a son of God that you are built to possess the law? St. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. The prophet said, I'm beginning to feel religious here. Anybody feeling like that? He said, now we have a law. It's the law of life that's in us. You are made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God. You don't don't have to nut down to the devil. Oh God, that's a preaching point for about 30 minutes. You don't have to nut down to the devil. When the law is against you, you're scared of everything. When the law is against you, there's no assurance. Brother Bumpkin, there's no hope. There's no confidence. But when the law is on your side, amen. Come on, church. Amen. If the law's on your side, you can walk to the police station and have coffee with every one of them. When the law is on your side, you can shake their hands. Amen. Because they're not against you. They're working for you. Oh, church, living God, don't you see tonight, amen, that the reason you're going in this rapture is because the law is on your side. Don't you see why you young people is going to overcome pornography and overcome Laodicea and overcome things of ungodliness and sin? It's because the law is on your side by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. The world may be against you, but what difference does it make when the law is on your side? Are you hearing me? The whole world may be against you, but what difference does that make when the law's on your side? Amen. Now, y'all forgive me. I'm just going to share this with you. We're just country boys. Amen. Raised in the hills of East Tennessee. My grandfather, he had a shop out in Bluntville. They called it Bluntville County. He had a shop out there. And out the holler, let me break that down. That's up the road. Out the holler's up the road. In case you didn't know. So out the holler or out the road or up the drive, there were some boys lived up there. And brother, they were mean old boys. And you know what? They'd come down there and rob off my grandfather. They'd break in his shop. They'd break in his buildings. And you know what? We'd call the law, and the law would come out there. Amen. And it got to a point where every time you could have evidence they'd done something wrong, and the law would still let them go. So we finally just got to the point where we said it don't do no good to call the law. They got the law sewed up. The law's on their side. No matter what you show them, no matter what you prove, they're going to say they didn't do it. And you realize that if that's in the negative, then let's bring it to the positive tonight. Amen. The devil is tore up. Hell is mad tonight. Amen. Demons are roaring out of anger. Amen. Because they've got things on you. They've got sins we've committed. They've got mistakes and shortcomings. And they call the law, the Holy Ghost, and say, here's what JJ done. And here's what Andrew done. And here's what this one done. And here's what Daniel done. And the law himself looks at it and says, I see it, but I don't attribute to them because they're under the blood. For some reason, I can't see what you're talking about. Come on, church. At one time, he could see it, but because there is an atonement, there is a bleach of the blood, your sins are in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Oh, church, amen, it's time to raise up and square your shoulders back. It's time to march down to hell's front door and knock on the door and say, devil, everything you took in 2021, I'm coming to take it back. And the devil says, you can't have it back. You just call the law. The law is on your side. You don't have to nut down to the devil. We've got a law. That's the law of the Holy Spirit. He said the only thing you know you have to do is let go and let God. The only thing you have to do is let go and let God. Look at somebody and say, let go. You didn't know you was going to help me preach tonight, did you? Let go and let God. Amen. Let go and let God. You keep fighting at it. It's never going to work. But when you let go and let God, that's all. It's finished. It's settled. Oh, church, is there anybody here tonight can say, Lord, I hear you. I don't know how this boy is going to make it, but I'm going to let go. Okay, I'm just going to preach here for a second. Amen. I'll tell you this. I was preaching the other day in the church, and there was a mama sitting there, and she was sitting on one end of the pew, and her boy was sitting on the other. And the whole time I was preaching, I saw tears rolling down her face. And I thought, what's wrong with that sister? God help her. And Brother Doug, afterwards, she came up to me. She said, Brother Andrew, my husband and I drove all the way up here just for you to preach to me. I said, what do you mean, sis? She said, I got a boy. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I've been trying to work it out. I've been trying to find programs. But she said, I heard the word of the Lord say, let go and let God have his way. Come on, friends. You've been trying to figure it out for years, and that's why you still ain't got nowhere. But how about tonight? You come back in God's way. Amen. It's not deep. Brother McKay, it's not educated, but it's very simple. Let go and let God have his way. Amen. Love divine fellowship. You got problems. You don't know how they're going to work out. I'm giving you the answer. Let go. Put it in God's hands and let him work it out. Jesus will work it out. I said Jesus will work it out. If I get a witness here that Jesus will work it out. Is there anybody can testify you've seen Jesus work things out? But the only way you operate the law is you got to let go and let the law work. If the fish said, I'll catch my breath and I'll get enough oxygen and I'll go to the bottom, he wouldn't make it. The bird says, I'll see how fast I can run down here and then maybe it'll take over. He would never make it. He said, see, the same way with us. We fight and pull and hurry. And oh, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, that's not it. It is to know that the law of life is in you. The law of life is in you. And if you can let go and let God, listen now, then he can take you. Oh, friends, if you can let go and let God, then he can take you to your healing. He can take you to the baptism of the Holy Ghost or anything he's promised. It's yours. He's already given it to you. You just got to let go and let God take you to it. Brother Andrew, how am I going to get the Holy Ghost? I've been trying to read enough books and listen to enough tapes and memorize enough scriptures. I've been fighting and fighting. I'm going to give you the answer tonight. Let go and let the Holy Ghost, who made the promise to you, you know what he'll do? He'll come and he'll get you right here in a service and he'll take your hand and he'll lead you. He will lead you right where he wants you. Come on, church. He's not fighting. He just surrendered. He's not fighting. I'm just taking him. I'm leading him. And that's what God wants to do to you. Just let go. Let him take your hand. If he leads you to justification, follow him. If he leads you to sanctification, wherever he leads you, just be willing to follow. He's not fighting. He's not working it up. He's just following what was sent to lead him. Are you hearing me tonight, church? He's in the building tonight. He wants to lead you to a miracle. He wants to lead you to a revelation. You just got to let go and let him. Well, Brother Andrew, my human nature, I trust that's okay, Brother Doug. My human nature says, I got to have something to do. I got to have something to work. I got to have something to puff up or pull down. Listen, I'll tell you what. Okay, I'll give you something. Are you ready? You want something to do to help God? I'm going to give you something. Are you ready? Resist the devil. It's the truth anyhow, sis. Resist the devil. See, some of y'all didn't receive that because it's too simple. But that's the key to your victory. Resist the liar and receive the spirit of truth. Resist the devil that's telling you you're not going to make it. And receive the word of prophecy that says you've already made it. Human nature wants something to do. He said, see, just resist the devil and he will flee. You realize tonight that a committal, somebody say committal. A committal is to let go and let God. Are you ready for this? You got to put it in God's hands. Come on, mama. Sometime or other, you got to put that boy in God's hands. Come on, church. Sometime or other, you got to put that situation in God's hands. Listen, it's been in your hands for 20 years and you ain't solved it yet. Amen. Then how about tonight coming back to God's way and saying, Lord, I'm done staying up all night. I'm done worrying about it. I'm putting it into your hands. If you said it, I believe it. I embrace it. That settles it. I can't do no more about it. It's the word of God or it's nothing else. And I stand on God's infallible word. I stand on the message of the hour that says, if I let go. Come on, church, while you're trying to figure it out. Amen. Just put it in God's hands one time. Are y'all hearing me? Just put it in God's hands. I was in a prayer. I hope they don't. Hope it's okay to testify a little bit. Amen. I feel like preaching here for a second. I was in a prayer line one night, and there was a woman come up in the prayer line. Brother Jill Forney was there. We was there in this prayer line together, and this woman come up, and she had three kids. I'd preached in that church before, and I knew her husband was a deacon, but he hadn't been there the whole meeting. I thought, where is that brother? Brother At. She come up in the prayer line. She told us ministers. She said, I want y'all to pray for my husband. Said he's backslid. Said he's quit serving God. Said he's drinking alcohol. Said he's not working. He's not paying the bills. Said the kids are about to starve. We're about to lose everything we got. She said, I've been staying up all hours of the night trying to figure out how this is going to work out. She said, I've been trying to get extra jobs. And I don't know what to do. And she, Brother Doug, she was just breaking down in tears. And I said, sis, you just got to let go and let God have his way. And Brother Jill said, that ain't nothing but the truth. He said, and better yet, what we're going to do is we're going to send the Holy Ghost after him. He said, if you go get him, it'll be a fight. But if God goes and gets him. Come on, church. If God goes and gets him, he'll bring him in here. Let me say this. I am a witness. Amen. Within 5 minutes, I opened my eyes and looked out the back door. And brother, I saw that drunken husband come staggering in the house of God on the Saturday night of that meeting. We didn't go get him. Daniel, we didn't go find him. But I'm trying to tell you, put it in the hands of the Lord. He's on your side. He knows where they're at. He knows what alley they're hiding in. He knows what denomination has got their mind wrapped up in chains of theology. He's God. Hallelujah. He's God. Let him be God. Let him be Jehovah. Let him be the mighty conqueror. Let him be the God that he is. Put it in God's hands. And I tell you what Paul told Timothy. He said, for this which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed. Oh God. And am persuaded that he might be able. Is that what your Bible says? No, my Bible says he is able to keep that. Which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, friends, do you realize if you go put your family in the hands of a psychologist, those are limited hands. Do you realize even, amen, I don't want to be negative here, but I want to make a point. Amen, that if only your faith goes as far as a pastor, you can put your situation in Brother Doug's hands. Amen, and he'll work and he'll sweat and he'll lose sleep. But let me say it like this, and no disrespect, but as ministers, there's only so much we can do. Are you hearing me? I'll tell you how preachers, well, I don't know how I got here, but I'm here. I'll tell you how preachers fall is when they're the ones that's got the answer to everything. Well, we might as well preach that and we're here. They got the answer to everything. They can figure it out, work it out, tell you how it happened. Amen. But I'll tell you what really shows a man of God to me. It's a man that can be handed with a situation and say, I don't know what to do, but I know one who can fix it all. I know one who can show up in the midnight hour. I know one who can turn the lights off. I know one who can turn the lights on. I know one who can stop the sun. I know one who can open the Red Sea. I know one who can walk in the fire. I know a God who can go in the lion's den. Now, you all sit like this to you. You always said, Brother Andrew, I want to put it in his hands, but whose hands am I putting in? Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Do you see that same word I see? Commit. Commit. Give it to. Hand it over. Fully entrust it to another. Commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing. Look at this. As unto a faithful creator. I ain't even got time to preach here all night. Amen. As unto a faithful. Notice this. Not put in the hands of just any God, but the creator. Oh God. Brother Doug, that struck me. In the hands of the creator. Do you realize there's sometimes that you put things in God's hands and the only way it gets fixed is because he's a creator? Oh, I hope this is okay. I know this may not be a New Year's message, but it's coming from my heart. Amen. A Come on, Abraham. You're going to take Isaac up on the mountain. You believe God for years for this boy. And now God says, go slay him up on the mountain. You're going to lay him up on the altar. You're going to slice his neck. The blood is going to run out of his body. He's going to lay there as a sacrifice. Amen. Abraham, what are you going to do? But before Abraham left, he said, listen, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And I and the lad will return again. And the Bible says that they got up there on the mountain. And the prophet said, just as Abraham, oh God, hallelujah, in the darkest trial of Abraham's life thus far, he's fixing to kill his boy. But before he goes up there, he gives a committal to God and says, God, it's in your hands. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to do what you say do. I'm going to follow your instructions. And he followed God all the way up on the mountain, brother, and laid Isaac on the altar. And he's just about ready to slice his neck. And all of a sudden, he hears something. He hears something over in the thicket, and he looks, and it's a ram that is caught in a thicket. And Brother Bram said, look, it was not a vision, it was a creation. He said he went over there and slayed the ram. Oh God, are you hearing me? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, don't worry about it, put it in his hands. He'll create it if he has to. Come on, Hattie Wright. Your two boys are laughing at a prophet of God. They're making fun of a prophet of God. They ain't got an ounce of desire in their heart whatsoever to serve God. And you hear the prophet's testimony and you say that ain't nothing but the truth. Can I just let you in on a little secret? Brother Doug, the Creator's on your side. Isaac, the Creator is on your side. Are you hearing me, Brother Doug? The Creator's on your side. Sister Jennifer, right here tonight, the God that stepped out on nothing and created everything is on your side. Come on, church. You say, Brother Andrew, we desire a baby. There's a Creator who can give you a baby. Oh, God. I'm trying to behave myself. There's a Creator here. There's a Creator. There is a Creator in the midst of the church. Have we limited God? Have we forgot? He's still a faithful Creator. You say, Brother Andrew, there's nothing here to work with. He don't need nothing to work with. When he created seven squirrels, there was no squirrel hair. There was no squirrel DNA. There was no squirrel bones. But the spoken word. The spoken word spoke through the power of creation and said, let there be a squirrel. And there was a squirrel. And there was a squirrel. And there was a squirrel. What are you saying? I'm saying, take no thought of what you'll say. For in that hour, he will give you the words to say. Because he's a Creator. Put it in his hands. You said, Brother Andrew, whose hands are you talking about? I'm talking about the man's hands who says your names are engraved in the palms of my hands. Are you hearing me? The Bible says in Revelation 1:20 that the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest of the seven churches. Now you say, Brother Andrew, that's easy to say because that's the seven messengers. A prophet come along and said, not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawing from the same source. They have all been dipped into the same bowl. They are dead to themselves. Their lives are hid with God in Christ. They are sealed in by the Holy Ghost. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their life, oh God, their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Are you ready for this? Satan cannot touch them. Amen. Not even death can touch them. For death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. And thanks be to God, which gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then I'm asking you, church, why are we complacent when we're engraved in the palms of his hands? Look what Jesus said to Laodicea in church age. He said, then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Look at this word lukewarm. It is the condition of the soul wretchedly fluctuating, amen, between a sluggish and a fervor love. That's the elements that surround you, is a Laodicean and lukewarm bunch that is they're sluggishly. One service they're sluggish, and next service they're fervent. Then the next service they're sluggish, and for 6 months they're sluggish, and then one service. But come on, church, the baptism of the Holy Ghost has come to put a stability in the souls of the believers of the end time word. The Bible says this Laodicean church age is lukewarm. It'll be spewed out of his mouth. Furthermore, if you will keep this word in you, in mind, you will recall that nowhere are we in the mouth of God. We are engraved on his palms. We are carried, oh God, we are carried in his bosom way back in the unknown ages before time. We were in his mind. We are in his sheepfold, in his pastures, but never in his mouth. And what's wrong with these people of the last day? Are you ready for this? They have gotten away from the word. Somebody wake up and say amen. Amen. They have gotten away from the word. Well, I might as well go ahead and say it. We just preached one time. Brother Doug is about halfway through watching that service. Homer Longore and I was doing it. It was about halfway through. And Homer's up there preaching, man. He was preaching. When there's people sleeping and everything, he said, all right, just stop. Stand up. Now, I'm not telling you stand up. He said, everybody stand up. He said, if you know Homer, Brother Homer, everybody stood up. He said, all right, shake yourself. Raise your hand. Sit back down. You know, so everybody. He said, all right. He said, take that frown off your face. You knew you was going to be here till midnight, so why'd you even show up if you didn't want to stay? Just reached in the script bag and pulled that one out. Let's have church. The prophet of God said they're no longer fervent about the word. They are lukewarm about it. It's not their passion. It's not their zeal. Amen. Do you realize this though? Amen. Each age had each church age had overcomers. Ephesus had overcomers. Do you realize every age had something that had to be overcome? I'm tying this together now. Every age had something that had to be overcome. Laodicea has to overcome. The bride of Laodicea, the elect of Laodicea, has to overcome the spirit of lukewarmness, and the elect of each age, amen, receive, amen, or the overcomer of the age by receiving the word of the age. Do you realize that only the elected of God will overcome this age? Oh God, the Bible says, knowing brethren, beloved, that your election is of God. Election means chosen, means used to the act of God's free will, by which before the foundation of the world, he decreed his blessings. Right. Now, I know people have trouble with this election, but let me preach for a second. To certain persons. So not everybody's got it. Brother Bram said, oh, if I didn't believe in election, I would be discouraged. If, come on, church, how many can say if I didn't believe in election in 2021 going into 2022, I would be the most discouraged person? But I'm not discouraged tonight, because I've got a sworn affidavit from the presence of God that I am the elected gene seed of God. From before the foundation of the world. The prophet said, look at this church elect. He said, you ought to be thankful that God elected you. That's what I'm so thankful. He called me. He chose me. I never chose him. He chose me. You never chose him. He chose you. Let me say it like this, church. God, how many believes that God knows the end from the beginning? You realize that God knows the end from the beginning. Let me drop something in on you, okay? God knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. Come on, church. When God elected you, he knew the end. Come on, church. He didn't just elect you knowing the beginning and looking at you as the overcomer in the end. He elected you knowing that this age was coming. Oh, God. Let me say this, bride. God elected you in this last age, in this late hour, in the end of 2021, going into 2022. He elected you, Brother Malachi, knowing that Laodicea was coming. He knew Laodicea was coming. He knew COVID was coming. He knew homosexuality would be condoned from the White House. He knew that was coming. He knew all these things was coming. But at the same time, oh, come on, church, at the same time, he knew you were coming too. He knew the morals of women was going to sink to the lowest ebb, but he knew there were some daughters of God that was going to come on the scene that would raise the standard in the face of such demoralization. Come on, brothers. He knew that men was going to become sissies and transgenders in the last days, but he still elected you and placed you right here in the middle of the most corrupted, deceiving age that's ever been on the face of the earth, but he had confidence in you. Can I preach to you? He didn't have confidence in your flesh. He had confidence in your soul, and he put a seed in your soul, and that's what's overcoming Laodicea. What time is it, sirs? It's time to make your calling and election sure. The brother said he's trying to get the church, trying to get the church to that anchor where we have an anchor in Christ. The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding. Amen. That's why people are fluctuating between a sluggish love and a fervor love. It's because one minute they're leaning their own understanding. Next minute, God's understanding. But God is looking for somebody that in all thy ways, in all thy ways, they will acknowledge him, and he shall direct the paths. Now look, now I want to lay some word in here, if that's okay. Solomon was born of a woman, of the one of the wisest men to live. The prophet said Jesus was a virgin born son, was not altogether man, but he was God. Listen to this. He was the God man. He was more than a man. He was a man plus. Look in St. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The prophet said, now when the Holy Spirit come, them speak of the prophets by measure. But when he come in the one Jesus, which was the Son of God, it come to him without measure. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him, for he was the perfect example. Somebody shout that back. Perfect example. Jesus was the perfect example. He was the God of glory, manifesting the glory of God to the people. God in him going about. Watch his life. Notice this. Then the fullness of that Spirit was manifested in Jesus Christ. Now, I really want to take a moment here and lay this in your heart, because I know as well as I think, and I know you think as well, what does the future hold? Two of you do. Three of you. What does the future hold? Brother Joe, what does the future hold? What's tomorrow hold? Brother Doug, what's 2022 hold? Are you hearing me? If we're here in 2024, what does that hold? Now, come on, friends. There's people right now that's building everything they've got on 2024. Well, I might as well preach. I'm here. There was a boy today about, I don't know, Brother Duck. He's probably about a 10, 11 year old boy. He got on the plane today, and I'm not getting in politics, but it really got my attention. He got on the plane. A young boy got on the plane with a mask on that said, don't worry, he'll be back, Trump 2024. And I thought, have you even solved X and Y yet? Come on. But that's the mindset of the people, because the world is looking for a savior. Come on, church. The world is falling apart. They need somebody. They're looking for some glue. They're looking for something that can come on the seam of the dug and pull all the fragmented pieces back together and glue it. Amen. Again, I'm not trying to get into politics, but I'm here, so I might as well preach. Even our former president stood the other day in a church in Texas, amen, on Christmas, and made a Christmas message, more or less a political speech, what I heard, but he called it a Christmas sermon. But anyhow, Brother Doug, he said, listen, he said, America needs a savior. And everybody said, amen. He said, and there is a savior. I'm not the savior. Jesus Christ is the savior. Amen. One higher than I. And I thought, what a mockery in the house of God that it takes a president to walk in the pulpit and acknowledge that there is a savior and it's Jesus Christ, when we got preachers in the pulpit lifting presidents I'm on, church. But here's what I'm going to say. I don't know what's coming in 2022. I don't know what it holds. But I do know this. Whatever it brings, we're going to get through it. I don't know, brother, what 2024 holds, but I do know this, Brother John. Whatever it brings, we're going to get through it. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know whatever it brings, we're going to get through it. Brother Andrew, where is this assurance coming from? Because we got through 2021, and we got through 2020, and we got through 2005, and we got through 2001 and Y2K. Come on, church. I'm trying to show you something here. The reason you're going to get through it is because of what's in you. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Do you really realize what's in you? Right now you're saying the Holy Ghost is in me. That's right. But can I hone in a little bit closer on what's really on the inside of you? In Revelation 3:14, under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the what? The beginning of the creation of God. The prophet said the beginning of the creation of God. That is who the Lord Jesus says he is. Now we know for a surety that Jesus is God, very God. Are you ready for this? He is the Creator. There's no doubt about it that God was the Word, and the Word was God, and God the Word became Jesus in flesh, and Jesus died upon the cross and descended to the right hand of the Father and sent back his Holy Spirit, which is in the hearts of believers today. He is the Creator. God created the heavens and the earth. He was the Creator of a finished physical creation. The prophet says, notice this, but now he is standing in the midst of his church as he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is, oh God, a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he came down, created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells that was in the womb of Mary for that body. Mary was the human incubator. Amen. She carried the Holy Child. She brought him to birth. It was a God-man. Are you hearing me? It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Are you ready for this? In Jesus met God and man in a body called Jesus and joined. He was the first of this new race. He is the head of this new race. Oh my. But the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Then you can see that though man was of the older order of creation, now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, what? Created in union with Christ Jesus. The prophet said, but now, oh my, amen. Can I read this to you? The new creation is not the old creation made over. It cannot be called the new creation. This is exactly what it says, a new creation. Oh my. But now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of a man. Now by his Spirit, he is creating, oh God, many sons unto himself. God the Creator is creating himself a part of his creation. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. Are you ready for this? You remember when I spoke on election a few minutes ago, I spoke on it for a reason. This purpose took form through election. That why, oh God, that is why he could look right down to the last stage. When all would be over. Come on, church. He could be the God before he was even God. Before there was anything created, worship him. Brother Doug, he could be there. Whoa. He could be there as God. And he could step back and he could look all the way through Israel. He could look through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. He could look through seven Gentile church ages. He could look through 6,000 years. Oh, God. He could look through 6,000 years of the deeds of the Nicolaitans, of the woman called Jezebel, of Ahab, of Baal, of the plagues of Israel. He could see Laodicea. He could see all the things taking place. He could look all the way through that. And the prophet said, and still see himself in the midst of the church as the author. Oh God, as the author of the new creation. Brother Andrew, how can you be so sure that we're going to get through Laodicea? We're going to get through 2022 because the Creator is in you, and no matter what you come up against. Come on, church, I'm closing. No matter what you come up against, what difference does it make if you come up against a wall and you can't get through it? If the Creator is on the inside of you, He'll say, open up and let Him go through. Come on, church. Hello, somebody. I said, hello, somebody. It's time to quit knucking down to the devil. It's time to quit coming up against things and backing up in the corner like a whipped puppy. It's time to raise up as the mighty created sons and daughters of God and take your possession. Take your inheritance. Give me my mountain. I want my mountain. I'm sick and tired of backing down to the devil. You want a secret? Here it is. Brother Ram said, here's the beauty of it. Brother Joel, when I come up against something and I don't know how I'm going to get through it, I don't know how I'm going to get over it, I can't get around it, I can't get under it, I can't get over it. So I spend 2,000 years standing there, twiddling my thumbs, trying to figure out a way to get through this. That's not what he said. He said, when I assess the situation, oh, I'm giving you some things to get through these years with. And I don't know how I'm going to get over it, get around it, get under it. He said, here's what I do. I just step back and I throw up my hands and I just start praising God, and He makes a way for me to go through it. Come on, church. Are y'all hearing me? The reason why you're sitting here tonight is because there was no other way for you to get through what you've been through. But there was a law. Oh God. There was a law on the inside of you. And it was a dark hour. It was a trying hour. Oh, friends, I'm running out of time. But I want to leave you with this. Don't give up. Christ didn't save you to lose you. Hello, somebody. Christ didn't save you to lose you. Oh, God. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. The vine is a prophecy of the branches. What the vine is, the branches will be. The vine was an overcomer. Are you hearing me? The vine was an overcomer. Therefore, I submit to you tonight that the branches will be overcomers. The Bible says we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, how many knows that, as I said a few minutes ago, that Jesus is our perfect example? And I'm fixing to give you a key from a prophet. That if you'll receive it, it'll get you out of things you're going through. Jesus told us how to do it. He overcome. What does overcome mean? To stand the test, like the old saints did, like Jesus did amidst all of his enemies. He stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood it in the face of sickness. Him being the Messiah, he healed Peter's mother, raised the woman of Nain's son, walked outside, sat down, and groaned with a headache. The Messiah, the great high priest. He, in the face of death, he brought it back to life. Are you ready for this? In the face of Calvary, his own death. Whew. He defeated it by surrendering himself. You was looking for a real deep key, weren't you? I just give you one. He defeated death by surrendering himself. What? By the word. He surrendered himself to the word. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. See, that's the real man. That's the one to make your example. The one who has the ability to surrender themselves to what the word says about them. Can I'll leave you with this, and I got to quit. The word can be in your midst. It's in your midst 3 times a week. It's getting quiet here. Your pastor can be sitting in the standing in the pulpit, laboring his guts out, preaching exactly the word 100%. But if you refuse to surrender, you refuse to surrender yourself to the word you're hearing. Brother Doug, this may not be a watch night service, but I'm preaching. You refuse to surrender yourself, you'll leave the same way you came. You can be in a storm and the pastor throwing you an anchor, but you refuse to surrender your own way and admit my way's wrong and God's way's right and reach out and get a hold of the anchor, you'll die in the storm. I don't know if you hear me or not, but I'm preaching to you right now. If you can't surrender yourself to the word that's in your midst, you'll never be benefited by the word. What are you saying? I'm going to say it like this, and I hope this makes sense. Peter and them are on the ship. They've just come out of a meeting. They're leaving the meeting. Brother Bram said, Jesus is standing on the bank. They're all saying goodbye. Goodbye. They're waving. He said, Jesus walks in the back of the boat and lays down to take a nap. Brother Bram said, I don't believe he was sleeping. He said, I believe he went back there knowing what was coming to see what they would do about it. Are you ready for this? Brother Doug, I caught this one day and I about shouted my office down. He said, I believe, go wake Jesus. He said, I believe he went back there and laid down to see what they would do about what they had seen done. See, you're wanting to see more. But what are you doing about what you've seen done? Amen. More miracles, more signs, more. But what are you doing about the ones you've seen done? Amen. I'm on, church. I'm preaching to you now. I've been here a few times. I think I can take a little liberty. Is that okay, Brother Doug? I remember being here a few years ago, right after God restored this building. You all come back in here. There was a praise in here like you ain't never seen before because of the restoration of God. I'm on, church. But let me just ask you, have you forgot about that? Has that become a past memory? Well, Brother Andrew, that was one great thing, but we're just waiting on something else. You know what you ought to do? You ought to praise him with what you got till you get what you want. You ought to praise him right now. Come on, church. The praise for what God done for this church shouldn't be diminishing. It ought to be increasing. There ought to be just as much praise tonight for every healing. Come on, church. I don't care if you was in the first service that Brother Doug conducted as a pastor and you saw a healing. Amen. You ought to still be praising God tonight for what you saw 30 years ago. Come on, church. If God saved your soul, you shouldn't be sitting there now with your arms folded and a bunch of clothes and revelation. You ought to have just as much power of praise that God saved your soul. He wants to see. What are you going to do about what you've seen done? Is it just going to become another service? Is it just going to become another miracle? I say no. Let's lift it up. Let's lift up what he's done. He's still a savior. He's still a healer. He's still a miracle worker. He's still a way maker. He's still a creator. I know I'm going way over time, but y'all forgive me, please. Peter and them are on the ship. Brother Doug, he said all of a sudden they started having a testimony meeting on the sea. They begin to talk about the woman at the well. They begin to talk about all these things. They're in a revival. They've just seen something great happen. They're really stimulated. They just come out of Southern Arizona fellowship meetings. Are you hearing me? They just come out of watch night service or youth camp or some convention. They're really stirred up. And now they're going back to everyday life. They're soaring across the sea of life. And all of a sudden they're testifying about him discerning the woman at the well and the sign of the Messiah. Go listen to that tape and listen to all the powerful things that they're talking about. Brother, sister, with all the powerful things they were talking about, I'm just going to close my Bible right now. With all the powerful things they were talking about, there should have been no room for fear. There should have been no room for fear. Come on, church. But because they were human beings right in the middle of that testimony meeting, Brother Bim said, watch how he orchestrated it. Right before the storm began to hit, they began to talk about the little boy who skipped school and brought his lunch down there. And Jesus said, bring me your lunch. I'm going to feed 5,000 and their wives and their children. And Brother Bim said, I could hear young John as he speaks up and says, I thought, oh no, he's missed it here. How's he going to feed 5,000 with two loaves and five fish? How's he going to do that? He said, but then I begin to remember what my mama told me. My mama told me that Jehovah is a creator. My mama told me that Jehovah is a creator. He created manna for the children of Israel. He created a ram for Father Abraham up on the mountain. Oh, are you hearing me? He created the heavens and the earth. My mama began to tell me he's a creator, and he no more than said it. And here come a COVID round three. And here come vaccine war number 15,000. Right for you, God, for there. Here come political war, if we make it that long, 2024. Yeah, right. Abraham said the clouds begin to gather. The rain begin to fall. He said they automatically went back to their fisherman ways and begin to say, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? How are we going to get through it? He said they begin to lift the oars and begin to raise the flag and begin to drop the anchor. He said everything they were doing out of the fisherman's way was failing. He said then all of a sudden, here come the great words. Amen. There is, go wake Jesus. Go wake Jesus. He said all of a sudden he's walking back there. He remembered he is a creator. In other words, go wake the creator. And here come the creator. And he walked right into Love Divine Fellowship on December 31st, 2021. And he squared his shoulders back. And he looked up at the wind and said, peace be still. And he looked at the rain and said, go back where you come from. The prophet of God said, do you know why the wind, the rain obeyed him? Because he was the creator of those elements. The creation, oh God, I'm done. The creation was obeying the creator. He said, then how much more if the creator comes into you and he speaks to that 16 element body and says, cancer, go away. Has it got to go away? Amen. Pornography, leave this house. And it's got to leave. Depression, go back to hell where you come from. Come on, church. It's time to rise up. The creator is in the church. The creator has returned to his creation. I'm not worried. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm not nervous. I don't know what tomorrow holds, Brother Eli, but I know who holds tomorrow. And if he got us this far, he's going to take us the rest of the way. If he brought us through 2020, he'll take us the rest of the way. Let us stand to our feet tonight. He's the creator, church. He's a faithful. He's a faithful creator. Brother Bram said what happened was they forgot. Brother, they forgot who was in the ship with them. They forgot that the creator with the answer to all answers. He was the answer to the devil's question. Was not 5 feet from where they were sitting. That's some heavy stuff. Can you imagine their thoughts? going to do? Somebody go get the oars. They didn't have GPS systems to track the storm. Somebody go out and I wonder what their thoughts was when it finally dawned on them. The Creator, He's right here in the ship. You're trying to work it out, but the Creator's back there. You're dying in your own ways, but the Creator's, he's within walking distance. Go wake him up. See, when you know what you got and you know who you are and you know the Creator's with you, it don't matter what you come up against. We was down, Brother Josh Bennett the other day, helping him. Brother Josh actually building the church. We was down there, I say the other day, it's back in November. It's almost comical. He was out there, had bulldozers. Brother Wayne Lawson was there pushing dirt with the dozer. We had track hoes, and we had all kinds of stuff out there cutting the ground for the pad to build the church on. And it's funny, Brother Doug had all parked the trucks up around top. And that actually, the guy was running a track hoe. I was down there running a compactor, and I was sitting there running around. I was watching them dig around where the trucks were sitting up there, and there was no road to get to them. And it came about 12 o'clock time to go get lunch, and there's no truck to go get lunch. And one of the guys on one of the dozers, I said, "How are we going to get our trucks out there?" He said, "Don't worry, I'll go make a road." I thought, make a road? How are you going to make a road? And then I thought, what an idiot. I'm sitting here looking at a guy sitting on a dozer that can push it. He can create a road. Here, I'm sitting here worrying about how he's going to do it. And he's got the power. He's on the machine to do it. Do you know what? We're sitting here worrying about how we're going to get through Laodicea. How are we going to get through COVID? How are we going to get through this trouble? How are we going? We've got the message of the hour, church. It's a bulldozer. It'll push over every devil. It'll clear out every path. It'll make straight the crooked ways. It'll bring the high places low. It'll bring the low places high. The Creator is in the midst of the church. How many says tonight, Lord, I want a new commitment. I want a full committal. As I leave 2021 and I walk into 2022, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. I may get to it Sunday. I don't know. I didn't get to it tonight. But Jesus, hanging on the cross in the darkest hour of his life, in the darkest trial, screams out those words, "Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit." Let me say it like this. Quit coming to the church trying to work it out. If you could work it out, you wouldn't be here. But because we're not independent, we're a body. We need each other. We need a ministry. We need a pastor. You know, I was in a mechanic shop one day, and I sit there, and there's a sign on the wall, and it said, $50 an hour to work on your car, $150 an hour if you stay here and tell me what to do. And it dawned on me, there's actually people that'll take their car to a mechanic and tell him what they think's wrong with it, and they actually had to tow it there because they took it apart and they couldn't get it back together. And they actually got the nerve to walk in there and tell the guy who's been doing this for 30 years how to fix it. But you know what I do? I know I'm ignorant when it comes to automotive. So here's what I do. I pull up. I say, "Here's my keys. It won't start. Have a good day and call me when it's fixed." I don't go home and fret. I don't go home and worry. I commit it to the mechanic. Let him fix it. What are you saying? I'm saying whatever you've been carrying this year, don't leave this building with it. Don't leave here fretting about what somebody done to you. Don't leave here fretting about who's talking about you. Don't leave here all tore up. Put it in God's hands tonight. Commit it to him. He's been doing it for ages. He's a creator. He'll take care of it. You love him tonight. What are you playing? Oh, let's sing it. Help me.
is who you are.
The Waymaker's on the inside of you tonight.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who.
Oh, do you hear him tonight crying out to you, children?
Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker.
Oh, won't somebody worship him tonight? Won't somebody worship him like a Waymaker? Won't somebody worship him like you know the Waymaker is on the inside of you?
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop.
Glory.
Even when I don't see it, you're...
Because you're letting go. Let go tonight. Let God take it in his hands.
That... Okay. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker.
That,
oh yes, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Oh, as they play that softly. How many believes he's in your life tonight? How many believes that the Waymaker is the Creator and he's in you tonight by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's time to let go. It's time to let go and let God. The devil's paralyzed your vocal cords long enough. I've stood in prayer lines and seen people bound by spirits of the enemy. And you stand there and begin to quote the word over them and begin to say, confess the word. I was in a meeting one night and a lady came up there and she said, Brother Andrew, I've been suffering depression for years and sorrow and sadness. She said, I've been suffering it. It's mine. I watched her. She was speaking. I watched that devil take control of her. She said, it's mine. I've been suffering it for years. I said, sis, rebuke that devil. It's not yours. It come from hell. And I watched her right there. Her whole mouth, Brother Doug, just clamped shut. She began to grit her teeth. I said, I want you right now to say, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. She wouldn't do it. I'll say she wouldn't do it. It was a devil trying to hold her. I said, sis, right now, Jesus Christ wants you to confess his word. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. I said, right now, in the name of Jesus, let her go and let her speak. And the devil lost its hold. And she began to say, I'm free. I'm free. You know what happened? There was no way for her through it. But the Waymaker was in her, making her way to go through it. Oh God, friends, I don't know if I can get this off my heart the way I had it. I pray it's been a help to you. The law's on your side. Walk into 2022 with the law on your side. On in the morning, when the devil rears its head, look at it and say, forget you, devil, the law's on my side. Forget your lies, forget your nonsense, forget your accusations, forget your, come on, church. Forget him, resist him, forget that devil. Kick him out of your life. Kick him out of your mouth. Come on, church. Come on, young people. Come on, young people. I know them teenage years. I know what happens. You get a little bit of spirit on you, and you get a little sassy towards your mom and daddy. Amen. But let me give you a challenge. Won't you take that sass and use it against the devil? Won't you tell that devil, get off my property? You don't belong here. Come on, somebody. You've been knocking down that devil long enough. The law's on your side. Let go of your mark. Let go of your voice. Let go and let God have his way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, on this first, Lord, I say it like this. On these final few moments of 2021, approaching these first few moments of 2022, Lord, I pray tonight if there's one believer here that's been carrying something. Lord, they've been trying to figure it out. They've been trying to work it out. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They've been to doctors. They've been to psychiatrists. They've been to psychologists. They've been through 10-step programs and everything else. And still they've got no answer. Father, I pray tonight some way, somehow, they heard the answer from your word. Let go. Let it go. And let God have his way. Father, I've seen people in services, Lord, holding bitternesses and just let it go. I've seen people holding spirits of unforgiveness, Lord, and just let it go and begin to let God have his way in their life. Father, as I raise my hand to you with this congregation, Lord, Father, I pray something has been said tonight to help him, Lord, to let him know that no matter what tomorrow holds or what the next year holds, Father, when I stood in 2019 and preached on the way into 2020, Lord, I stood there that night and never will forget it. And I said, congregation, what if the Lord would come down tonight in a corporal body and look at you and say, on January 1st, 2020, we'll hold this. And January 15th, unexpectedly, 2020, we'll hold this. And March of 2020, we'll hold this. And I went through the calendar months, Lord. And I began to ask him, what if you knew this was coming? It would no longer be a walk of faith. It'd be a walk of sight. You would be walking every day in fear. You would be living every day. Lord, tomorrow, if you come down tonight and told us tomorrow at 12:52, we was going to have a flat tire on Interstate 10, Lord, we'd do everything possible to prepare for that time. But Lord, you don't do that because your word says we walk by faith and not by sight. So Lord, the reason I know I can say this with all assurance, I guarantee you, Lord, if you had come down and told us in 2020 what was coming in March of 2020, it scared some people plumb to death. They'd probably quit church and went home and hid out somewhere. But Lord, because we were walking with your hand and our hand and our hand and your hand, and we were saying, God, wherever you lead us to, we'll follow you. Wherever you take us, we'll possess. Here we are tonight, dear God. Oh, Father, standing on the other side of not only 2020, but of 2021, on the brink of 2022. And tonight, God, with that same commitment, we raise our hands before you and we say, Lord, you don't have to come down and tell us what tomorrow holds. You don't have to come down and show us what our future is. Lord, if you'll just come down tonight and just take our hand in your hand, then we'll know everything will be okay. We'll trust you through the hard times. We'll believe you in the good times. We'll rejoice in the happy times. We'll pray in the difficult times because, Lord, we say tonight, into thy hands we commend our lives. Into thy hands we place our churches. Into thy hands we place our families. Into thy hands we place our homes. Into thy hands we place our lives. We commend our lives into your hands, Father, as unto a faithful creator. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, is there anybody here tonight just want to commune with him for just a few moments? Oh, as we're closing out 2021, fixing to take the communion here in a few moments. Heard the prophet of God say today, he said, as they're fixing to come and serve you the communion, we know what communion means. Communion, strength comes from the communion. Oh, I thought, oh God, what a way, Father, Lord, as I was walking out of the hotel tonight, listening to your prophet say that, it began to dawn on me. He said, where was the communion instituted? It was instituted all the way back when Israel was fixing to leave Egypt. Lord, your prophet told us that there was elderly people, there was old people, there was sick people, there was weak people, there was feeble people, there was all kinds of people. They had no strength. They had no ability of their own to make it on the journey. But Moses commanded them, you go in your tents and you partake of that communion. You begin to take that lamb. And Lord, as I heard your prophet say, they begin to eat and strength begin to come in them. Oh God, until the morning Moses got up and he went out there, and the night before, old grandpa was sitting out there and his shoulders were stooped and he had a headache and his hair was gray and he couldn't hardly walk. But the next morning, grandpa was out front doing jumping jacks. Hallelujah. He was out front jumping because he had communed on the word, and the word they was communing on was giving them strength for the journey. Oh God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we would take of this spiritual communion and take of the physical communion, may we receive strength tonight, dear God. May we receive strength for 2022. May we receive strength, Lord, to finish this journey. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Do you love him tonight? New year, new commitment into thy hands. As our brother comes, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. Glory to God. But JJ, I'm trying to quit. Why did you use that scripture, Brother Andrew? Why did you use Jesus hanging on a cross, dying between the heavens and the earth, and scream out these words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit? Why did you use those, Brother Andrew? I'll tell you why. Because it goes to show that Jesus, in his darkest trial, facing the darkest hour of his life, never lost the ability to be led. Oh God. Bro, that's a preaching hour right there. He didn't hang on the cross with a hard heart, saying, Father, why have you got me into this? Why have you got me in the middle of this? I don't understand this. All I've done is good. All I've done is pray for people. All I've done is raise the dead. And here I am hanging between the heaven and die. Oh, they said he'd be led like a lamb to the slaughter. He hung there and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Can I say this to you? Don't ever let what you go through make you so hard you can't be led. Don't ever let what you face hit you so hard that you lose your ability to say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't understand why I'm laying on my back looking up right now. But Father, I trust you. Into thy hands, I commend my spirit. God bless you.